Good morning. You're listening to FloridaElite.net, and I'm Kemp Parr. I'm in Nashville at the Fall StarNet meeting, and I'm with Mark Bischoff, the president and CEO. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, Kemp. It's always nice to see you in these wonderful properties all over the country.
So StarNet, most people know, largest group of commercial flooring contractors in the U.S. I think you have roughly 170, 180 members. Is that right?
At this point, we're 173, and the members are growing, so we're at 430 servicing locations.
So fall meeting's a little different than the spring. It's a little bit smaller group. Tell us, how's business? How's StarNet doing?
StarNet's doing great. The fall meeting tends to focus on training and more technical orientation. The spring meeting is more of a celebration for the shareholders. So we get a lot of the branch managers and operations people at the fall meeting, and we have to change the content a bit. The members here are feeling good about the business. The backlogs, we just did a backlog survey, and it looks like we're above trend on backlogs. There is some softening in a couple of segments, but overall the members feel pretty good about 24 and 25.
So can you quantify, I mean, is there a percentage growth that you've seen this year versus last year?
Well, we're starting to see some seasonality. We've seen a fall off on the commercial carpet. We had a very strong year with commercial carpet last year, and it's not holding up this year. We see continued softness in commercial office. There are other segments. We've been anticipating this for a while, but it's finally coming through on the numbers. There's explosive growth on VCT. The K through 12 education business has been very strong in 2024, and we anticipate that's going to continue forward. We're a bit concerned about the fall off in sheet goods business. Sheet goods is strategically important to StarNet members because it provides a bit of a moat around their business, and we've been working with our preferred vendor partners around that challenge. We want more carpet being sold, so we're starting to have those strategic discussions with our vendors. In addition, we don't want the market to just let the sheet products fall away to LVT, which is a trend we've seen over the last few years. So we're working with them on those challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got to admit, you know, we did an article in I think the last issue about VCT. You know, there's just really two suppliers, and it's coming back, and some of the LVTs that were the new promise aren't holding up as good as VCT, right?
Yes, we originally saw this and anticipated it because of our work with the StarNet Floor Care members. They were getting a lot of inbound complaints and requests from the vendors to help solve problems with end users that were frustrated with their new LVT floors and K through 12 or healthcare environments that traditionally they would have used sheet products. And it was just a different experience, and the end users weren't happy. Our floor care members can handle those problems. But normally when there's a complaint that reaches our members, it's been in the marketplace or in that building for weeks or months, and that's not the experience we want our end users to have.
So what are the challenges some of the members are facing now?
We've been very focused the last few years on a few things. Talent, so both developing their current talent as well as attracting new talent. Their operational models, so we're pushing very hard to get the members to move from a cradle to grave where salesperson handles selling the project and they have to run it and they have to estimate it and all the things that are involved to a team selling environment where different roles work on the same project to take it from beginning to end. That dramatically increases the selling capability of a StarNet member. So that's an example of our operational influence, and then technology and data. So without the technology change, you can't get to the data, and the data long-term for us is vital. So we've had a lot of the technology software providers at our conferences, as well as we've done some special meetings called tech summits to make sure that the members get fully exposed, and we're really pushing them to make that change.
Highlights of this meeting, I'm going to tell you one I went to. I went to the Next Gen breakfast this morning, and it's generally an old guy just, you know, giving some life experiences for the young guys to consider. This one was a panel of three 40-something-year-old people who had, in the last 10 years, had taken over and was the next gen of a business, whether it be one they acquired or one that they inherited. And it was really full of great information because they were talking about what they'd been going through.
Yeah, the next gen group, each time we want the content to be valuable to those next gen. We want them to be inspired by the stories. And this is the first one where we've had a peer-to-peer format. I think we may have to do that every couple of years just to freshen it up. Of course, there's legends in this industry. We want them to have a chance on their way out to impart that knowledge onto the next generation. It is inspiring.
Let's talk about this recent surprising news that Managing Commercial, who was one of the four original vendor partners, deciding that they're going to leave the group. I guess the question is, what is the group doing kind of in reaction to that?
Yeah, that was disappointing, but these are changing times in our industry, and we have a lot of professional managers coming into these businesses, and they're trying to put their mark on it. We agreed to continue to be partners until the end of this year, and they're going to go a different direction, so we wish them well. Our network always encourages the members to move purchases from out-of-network businesses and vendors of every type to in-network vendors. And we've put together an infrastructure that would easily allow the members, if they choose to do that in an active way, to make those moves across all the product categories. So that's an ongoing initiative. It happens every day. It's not doesn't have anything to do with Mannington, but at the end of the year, with Mannington being out, we're going to encourage and put those systems in place to allow our members to move their discretionary business from out-of-network vendors to the in-network vendors. And all of the folks that are with us here in Nashville have committed to help our membership at every level make that happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. You had a little session yesterday that was, I think, something new. You brought the vendors in, and you had a kind of open dialogue, so that was encouraging. So let me ask you, what are you doing to make sure that some of the StarNet members don't, cut their own deal with maybe a departing vendor partner?
So we anticipated this in 2018. We rewrote our membership agreements, and we also changed the criteria for allowing members to come in. We anticipated we had different types of owners, including private equity, coming into the group. They would have some interest in make their own decisions on how they wanted to handle things. And at that time, we worked with our vendors to put an incentive program that would allow them to directly impact a member who had significant goals, purchases, size, but allow them to remain inside StarNet. So we've had several significant vendor partners sit with us to make sure that if a member was looking to do something special or extra, they could make that deal and work that program inside StarNet. So we're grateful for our vendors being flexible in knowing that this is a reality, but also it gives these private equity firms or other large multi-location companies the confidence that they can stay in StarNet and still get the benefit of what they would see as a large entity or somebody special, but work those programs through StarNet. And we've been very happy with the outcome on both sides.
All right, so what's on the horizon? Obviously, we've got a presidential election coming up, and then you got your spring meeting, right?
Yes, so we'll have the spring meeting at the Omni in Carlsbad, California, late April next year. That'll be a celebration. Unique to that, for the last several years, we've had some schedule changes, so our members won't know what is in their dividend until the morning of that meeting, so it'll be like opening an envelope on Christmas morning, so we're going to try to make that extra special for them. And our membership is working hard to balance out their business. There's seasonality in the industry now. So we had the Sourcewell folks come and do some training, and we're going to continue that program. We're actually continuing that program at Ropey Holding in a couple of weeks, and we believe that that'll balance out the bid and specified work with negotiated work through these structured agreements. We think that's a great path for our members to be successful in the rest of 24 and the 25.
All right, Mark, it's good to catch up with you. You've been talking to Mark Bischoff, the president and CEO of StarNet, and you've been listening to Kemp R and FloridaDaily.net.